Kia ora and welcome to this week's edition of the DAS podcast. Today we are joined with multimedia artist Lonnie Hutchinson, whose survey show Blackbird opened last week at the DAS. I'm Chloe Cull.
And I'm Sasha Greig. And today we'll be talking to Lonnie about the themes in her work, what it's like to work across different media, and her hopes for Christchurch following the rebuild.
Kia ora koutou, talofa lava, and thank you for joining us.
So it's a survey exhibition, so it crosses quite a lot of different works and different media. Can you talk a little bit about working across such a huge range of media and I guess types of artworks?
Video is really seductive. You know, it's moving image, and people are seduced by it. And I suppose coming up with the concepts, sometimes I kind of, when I come up with some ideas or I want to make a work about this or that, sometimes moving image or using other materials pop into my head straight away. Yeah, I mean, my main material is paper, and it's the blackboard is paper, but if we talk about fish eyes, that was quite important work for me to make because I realised I'd been living away from Auckland for a while, from my family home, and I was missing out on two of my nieces growing up. And they were always at their grandparents after school every day and were having these conversations with their nana, and I just thought, look, I've got to capture this because it's family history, and also too, it's kind of this matriarchal, the mother and then the granddaughters and their relationship. So the only way to capture that was actually to use video, you know, moving image.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So when you sort of considering an artwork or an idea, the idea comes first and then the way you're going to express that comes second, or does it sometimes work the other way where you really want to work with a medium and you need an idea to sort of utilise that medium?
Yeah, it's both ways. So usually, I suppose I'm a bit governed by spaces in regards to what shows are coming up. So for my shows with my dealers, I usually work in paper. It's something that my audience has been following for a while, and also too, I'm experimenting more and I suppose pushing the boundaries of what you can do with paper all the time. So I find the galleries that I exhibit at are good spaces for me to do that. Once I step outside of the gallery and start working within urban spaces, I get really excited about that. Sometimes I feel maybe I should have been an architect because I really like working large scale.
Yeah.
And I'm really interested in how temporal or public artwork works within kind of urban structures and other architecture and what relationships the work that I'm making will have with those other buildings or structures that are in the space as well. That's quite important to me. So that's sort of the formal side, and then there's the conceptual side about, you know, what am I saying here? What am I doing here? And so especially for Christchurch or anywhere in the Ngāi Tahu Rohe, I'm always working with, I suppose, whakapapa. And that's whakapapa, the land and of the people that live there. And talking about my own ancestry on my Ngāi Tahu side.
So I haven't actually seen a lot of the show, but one of the works I have seen a lot about is Loli Loli. That is a work featuring a lot of jet planes. How many are there?
Well, I haven't counted those ones, but I can remember on the count at the physics room when I first made the work, I think it was about 1,074.
Wow. Could you talk a little bit about what that work is about and using lollies in an artwork and sort of how that came together?
So I made it for the physics room show. It was a show with Veronica Vaivai. It was called the Lonnie and Ronnie Show, and that was one of the works. I also had a spa pool set up inside that gallery as well.
Awesome.
Yeah, because it had to do with when I arrived in Christchurch, it was devoid of any Māori or Pacific contemporary art happening, you know, like, and I used to go to a lot of openings, and myself and Stephanie Oberg, who's Cook Island, we'd be the only two brown faces, the visible brown faces there at a lot of openings. And that was quite crazy. And then Megan arrived, and so then there was three of us, you know. It was like, and so I wanted to really play on that idea of the Pacific, of where we were, and you know, heat it up, you know, because it's always seen as being, you know, somewhere where you go and have a holiday, as a resort. So I wanted to play on that idea. But there were other ideas going on the show that had to do with the environment, and having the spa pool and the heat and the steam, that actually played into that as well. Like, you know, with the gallery being quite warm, and hearing the bubbling, it was crazy. But so Lolly Lolly is actually about the nuclear testing that happened, that the French did at Moriroa Atoll. So what happened was there were babies after the testing for quite a few years after. There were babies being born that had no spine, and they were referred to as the jelly babies.
Wow.
Yeah, so I thought, right, I want to make a work out of jelly. And then I was like, I'll look at aeroplanes. Jelly planes, and I was actually looking originally at jet planes, but I couldn't find them.
Okay.
I couldn't find enough of them.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't order bulk order lollies. I went to every supermarket in Christchurch and cleared out their bins, basically. Awesome. Well, in those days too, I was, you know, chefing two nights a week just to cover the rent, and I was just had my head down making as much work as possible and trying to get sales so that I could invest in more work and also kind of have some kind of lifestyle.
Mm.
Yeah, back then. So I was based in Littleton then. And so I wanted to construct a kind of bomb form out of the planes. Yeah. So that's how that kind of happened. And I just drew that up on the wall in the physics room. I had all these ideas in my head about what I wanted to do, but I hadn't actually had a go at it in the studio to see if it would work or anything mm-hmm. like that. I just, one evening, the staff went home, left me the keys, had set up the stereo for me, and I stayed the night in the physics room, and in the morning, that's what...
How do you think Christchurch is situated now in terms of representation of Māori and Pacific artists?
With what's happening with the rebuild and with Ngāi being statutory partners with the Crown, that Ngāi Tahu, there is a presence of Ngāi Tahu art in all the buildings that are being built at the moment.
Mm.
But that's what's supposed to be happening. And I do know on some projects it is. So... I think it's really unique. Christchurch is going to be a very unique city in regards to the Indigenous people actually having an identity, a visual identity in the city. There's no other city in New Zealand's going to have this or look like this. And I think it's going to be interesting in a global level with other Indigenous cultures and Indigenous architects and designers and artists actually... looking at what's happening in Christchurch, I think in the future there's actually going to be quite a bit written, and people are going to probably research elements of that. I think it's just fantastic.
That's all from us this week. Thank you to Lonnie for your generous kōrero.
And a big thanks to the Hutt City Council, the major source of funding and support for the Dowse Art Museum.
I'm Chloe Cull.
And I'm Sasha Gregg.
Ka kite anō.